T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The preacher and the teacher. Mustard and Johnson. It's Mustard and Johnson on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Talk all things Sox, Pats, B's and C's right now with Mustard and Johnson on the WEEI Sports Radio Network at WEEI.com.
It is our number 3 of the Mustard and Johnson show. Mark James, Greg Dickerson coming your way at 12 noon. Most of the discussion in the first couple hours. Rarely do we talk about minor league baseball, but a pretty major deal pulled off by Mr. Lucchino and company yesterday. Paw Sox moving from Pawtucket to Worcester. Here to break it all down for us is our old friend, Larry Lucchino. Good morning, Larry.
Hello, Craig.
Larry, you're so excited you're walking around with your Trump hat on today.
Not a chance.
Make
friend,
Worcester great again.
Well, this was not our original plan, as you know. When we bought the team about 3.5 years ago with my friend Jim Skeffington, the plan was to stay in Rhode Island, move to downtown Providence on the waterfront, and build a new ballpark, because at that point, McCoy Stadium was about 70 years old. It's 75 years old. It's the oldest ballpark in the International League, and actually in all of AAA by about 45 years. And that was our plan, but things have changed, life changes. Jim passed away. And we tried to make it work in Pawtucket as hard as we could.
I like the quote you had, somewhere you are wanted, not where there is controversy and opposition.
Yes, exactly.
Was that from your mom?
I inferred that it was something my mom would have said.
Okay.
She would have said, she simplified everything to more basic things, whereas I had this legal-like inclination to make everything more complicated. She would say, why don't you just realize that it's better to be somewhere where you're wanted than somewhere where you're not necessarily, where people aren't as enthusiastic about it.
Well, you got involved with a team 3 years ago when you left the Red Sox. You obviously knew that McCoy Stadium wasn't going to be sustainable. Why go to Providence? What was the reason for the initial move to Providence? Obviously, that was rejected, but why did you want to go there?
Well, my partner, Jim Skeffington, was a lifelong Rhode Islander and had a real love affair with the city of Providence, and thought that a new ballpark in downtown Providence would be perfect, both for the city as well as for the team. And I expected to go off into semi-retirement more quietly. But when he passed away later that year, that first year, I was impressed in the service. And for about 3 years, we tried to make something work in Pawtucket. And the mayor of Pawtucket is a very honorable and positive guy, Don Grebian. And he couldn't have been more passionate, more helpful, more hardworking about this. But it's a down there, it is a controversial issue, and there was quite a bit of political and public opposition. I think it stemmed in part from 38 Studios, to be sure. But we just tried, and then we exhausted our exclusivity period in Rhode Island about a year ago, and we went out and started talking to a few other would-be homes, people who did want to build the kind of ballpark that we wanted to build in the kind of downtown area. And Worcester did such a wonderful job in terms of sharing our vision and working hard, reliably. They saw a ballpark, but they saw something that was more than a ballpark. It was an urban planning device. and they were going to do some major urban planning in and around the Canal District. And again, it gets back to Larry, just what Larry just referred to, and that's we were very much wanted there. And why would you stay somewhere where you're not wanted, and you're a source of controversy, versus going someplace where they very much want you and there is broad-based support?
Now, this sounds like it got tied up, having nothing to do with you. They can't blame you for this one. This sounds like it got tied up with the governor, the speaker, and the Senate president, and the people.
Well, that's right, Larry. We made a deal with the governor and the her Commerce Department and the city of Pawtucket 15 months ago on Thursday of last week. So it was 15 months ago we signed a deal, and it was subject only to the approval of the General Assembly. But we were able to work out a deal with the governor and the mayor. The problem was the General Assembly's approval had to be obtained.
Right.
And, of course, the land had to be obtained. All of this turned on the highly desirable Apex site in downtown Pawtucket. And the approval from the General Assembly never came. Indeed, a radically changed version came at the end of June to June 28th, I believe, of this year. And the land was never acquired from the existing landowner and may have to be acquired at some point in the future by eminent domain.
How about this new ballpark in Worcester? You know, the whole emphasis today, really, Larry, has been on disgruntled Rhode Islanders. And we have a couple of Worcester callers as well, obviously much more pleased about what's going to happen. What's this new ballpark going to look like?
Well, it's going to look and taste and feel and smell like Worcester. That's what I would say. Got the great advantage of working with Janet Marie Smith, my cohort, who has been involved with me since we brought her into baseball in Baltimore in 1989. And she most recently, of course, worked for 10 years on the renovations and improvements of Fenway. We put Camden Yards together. So I think there's a chance that this could be quite a special ballpark. We'd like it to have many more modern amenities than the 78-year-old McCoy has, but we'd also like it to be an important player development cog for the Red Sox and have more modern training facilities and the kind of playing dimensions that might be helpful to the team. Those are among the things we are considering.
What about a green monster?
Well, there's talk about that, but I think that's subject to our discussions with the baseball operations people at the Red Sox as to how they like it. It also may conflict in a way with something that looks and tastes and feels and smells like Worcester. So maybe a mini monster. Maybe that's a possibility.
What does that mean, though, exactly? Looks and tastes and feels like Worcester. What is that? Define that for me, sir.
Which word don't you understand, Craig?
It's a looks, taste, feel. How does Worcester taste?
Yeah, Larry, don't forget, he only went to Cornell.
How about the name of the ballpark? The name of the ballpark is going to be Polar Park, named after a 150-year-old beverage company in Worcester called Polar. They share a logo with us. They have a polar bear. We have a polar bear. And so you'll be able to get all manner of polar drinks at the ballpark. So it's going to taste like Worcester. There'll be plenty of Worcester food. There'll be a diner probably in the ballpark somewhere, being that Worcester is the place that gave us the diner. Originally, it'll look like the town architecture in the Canal District in the area, but it's not going to be a copy of it, of anything. There's a pie company nearby, Table Talk Pies, which is another old venerable Worcester institution. And as you go down to that ballpark, you can actually smell the aroma of the 200 million pies that they make every year.
Hey, Larry, I remember when they were 13 cents for one of those little miniature cherry pies at the corner store right next to my grammar school way back in the 1960s somewhere. I didn't realize they were from Worcester. The other thing about Worcester is people forget it's the second largest New England city. It's not Providence. Are you going to do better business, do you think, in Worcester? Are they going to bang it out in Worcester while they may not have done that?
I think we hope so. Yeah. We certainly hope so. We needed something. There has been some decline over the last decade in Pawtucket with our team and our attendance and our business success. So the idea is to make this team financially stable and sustainable. That's what we have to do. And building the right kind of ballpark in the right market is critically important to that. But I do have to say, Craig, that there is a kind of bittersweet aspect of this. For every excited and jubilant 10-year-old there is in Central Mass, there is a disappointed 10-year-old in Northern Rhode Island.
Yep.
So we hope to be able to make this a regional team that will have some appeal not just to Central Mass, but also to Northern Rhode Island and Northern Connecticut and Southern New Hampshire, et cetera, and Southern Vermont. So we recognize that we have changed something that was a part of Rhode Island for many years. And again, our original goal was to build something in Rhode Island to secure the team for Rhode Island for another 30 years. We came very close, but the support just wasn't there.
Hey, Larry, what you have to do, you got to make sure you do it when you move to Worcester. You got to have the Cub Scouts sleep out in the outfield. I did that 3 or 4 nights with my kids back in the day at McCoy.
Oh, we will. We will. You can be sure that's one of the best practices around, and we will take that with us. We also have camp days and school days where people from Northern Rhode Island and Central Mass have slept at the ballpark for other occasions, and we intend to continue that.
Hey, Larry, do you miss Fenway?
I do. I do. I really enjoy this year's team, just like any baseball fan. I go in there. I still have an office there, and I go in 1 or 2 days a week. I'm kind of a ceremonial appendage, a little bit of an institutional memory, I'm happy to do that. But like any baseball fan, you have to love this year's team. It is the next great Red Sox team, and there is a great spirit, a great about the team, and a great vibe at Fenway.
Hey, but I meant you personally. Like, do you miss the radio and the bantering back and forth and the like? Do you miss all that?
Not so much. Not so much. I'm happy to talk to you guys on a Saturday morning, but I really I didn't want to go off over the horizon, but I did want to stop going at 90 miles an hour and maybe start going at about 30 miles an hour.
Hey, listen, but you deserve it. Hey, one last question. I was reading a piece in the Globe today that finally the right fielder of the Pawtucket Red Sox, after 2 years hanging out down in Rhode Island, may be ready to come to Boston, Rosny Castillo. What do you know about that?
He has been sensational. Brandon Phillips has been terrific. But if you had to point to the guy who's probably had the best year as a whole, it would be Rosny Castillo. And I mentioned that to John Henry and Tom Werner recently, and we got a good chuckle out of it as we remembered the excitement attached to him. But he's a much better and more experienced baseball player these days, and he's handled AAA baseball very well. I don't just mean on the field. I mean psychologically as well. And I do should say one other thing about the Red Sox. This was not the Red Sox call.
Right.
Mothership does not make these calls for the affiliates throughout minor league baseball, and particularly when they're moving within their market. We're moving from southern part of the Blackstone Valley to the northern part of the Blackstone Valley. That's really all within the Paw Sox territory. So the Red Sox were interested bystanders, to be sure, but it was our call. Not their call.
There would never have been the prospect of leaving New England, would it? I mean, you were going to stay in this area.
Well, that was always our hope and our plan. As I said, it was to focus on stabilizing it in Rhode Island for the next 30 years. But it takes it takes three to tango. Actually, you need the state and the city, and the team working collaboratively together to make it happen. And no one, I don't think, could have worked harder than we did to try to make it happen in Rhode Island. It's just a combination of forces, some historical and some political.
Political.
It just didn't happen, but it was not for lack of trying.
Hey, just quickly, how's Dr. Childs?
Hey, he's great. I talked to him. He's the president of the PawSox.
I know.
You know, and he did a masterful job yesterday, I think, orchestrating what was a
flyover?
Momentous day.
Well, it's exciting for those in Worcester. Unfortunately, very depressing for those in Pawtucket. Those are the economic realities, and we appreciate you joining us this morning.
We do miss you.
I would say the economic and political realities.
Right, yeah, that always is the case when you're dealing with Rhode Island, as we well know.
We do miss you, though. You used to walk around Fenway with that big stick, and I tell you, you were loved by many and feared by many.
Well, thank you. Thank you. You left out those who have a different emotion towards me. But I appreciate you saying that. And I miss you guys, too. I do listen in on Saturday morning. So.
Well, you'll have a longer commute, so you'll be able to listen more.
Yeah, I do have a few minutes longer commute. You're right about that.
Hey,
yeah.
Larry, thanks for joining us today, man.
You're welcome.
Larry, the best to you. Thank you.
All right, Larry Lucchino, former CEO of the Red Sox, obviously the guy is in charge of Pawtucket and their move, the PawSox move from Pawtucket to Worcester beginning in 2021. We'll hear more of your reaction. You PawSox fans who are obviously bemoaning this deal, and we've only talked to one person in Worcester who's welcoming the PawSox come a couple years from now. If you want to weigh in on that from the positive perspective,
still
obviously.
Still good time on the Patriots and Red Sox and anything else on your mind.
All right, 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Your call's on the way on
Load them
Radio,
up.
WEEI.
You're rocking the weekend with Mustard and Johnson. Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI and WEEI.com.
You know, that's a YouTube version of Say a Little Prayer for You. Doesn't that sound like Dionne Warwick?
Yeah, a little bit. I like Dionne's version better.
Oh, you like Dionne's version?
Yeah.
I like Aretha's version.
I do. Well, that's the way you are.
Great Burt Bacharach, Hal David song. Say a Little Prayer for You, one of Larry's favorites for obvious reasons.
Amen.
617-779-7937, celebrating the life of Aretha Franklin, also talking about the PawSox.
Looking out on the morning rain.
Oh, that's a great Carole King song, done so well by Aretha. We'll play that a little bit later. We've been talking a lot about the PawSox and other matters, and here to weigh in, as he usually does somewhere near the end of our program, is John in Gardner. Good morning, John.
Good morning, fellows.
Good morning.
What's happening?
Not too much. I think that was the Dionne Warwick cut.
That's the Dionne Warwick version, but, yeah.
You know, you just mentioned it, Larry. What's the title of that song, You Make Me Feel Like a Woman?
Natural Woman. You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman. Carole King wrote it.
If I could request, the cut of that was in The Big Chill was my favorite song of hers, I think. But be that as it may.
Great movie as well.
What's that?
Great movie, Big Chill, great soundtrack. One of the great movie soundtracks of all time. Yep.
A quick rhetorical bit of nothing. I wonder if the TV execs are going to be smart enough to pipe in Jimmy G and the 49ers this year to those of us in New England.
Well, you know, it's all regional, and I don't think they have. I don't think that the local stations. I know we've gone through this before. How much control they have?
It's going to be a network call.
Well, if I'm Fox, because Fox is going to have the games. The majority of the 49er games are obviously on Fox. And I'm not sure, I haven't looked at the schedule, how many 4 o'clock versus 1 o'clock games. 49ers more likely to play 4 o'clock games than 1 o'clock games. That'd be an interesting doubleheader on a Sunday. Patriots at 1, 49ers at 4, but knowing the Patriots is going to be a lot of night games and 4 o'clock games and things like that. I don't know if they'll be able to. I would love to see that. That would be fantastic.
I always argued the point, John, with this station to carry Parcells' press conferences when he was still coaching.
Yep.
He was that entertaining.
Those were pretty, a little different than our current Bill.
Oh, gosh.
And a quick throwaway, you know, speaking of our boy Tom, you know what's a nice round number is 20. I didn't think this way before. I thought he was going to go for the middle age 40s, but I think he's going to be done after next year. I have a sneaking suspicion. But I wanted to talk about this ownership stuff. And I was hoping to get in before you talk to Larry, because I was hoping you could mention to him that John Lester's 13-3.
I don't think Larry's too worried. If he's worried about the parent club, 51 games over 500, I don't think Larry's losing a whole lot of sleep over the local nine, if that's what you're implying.
I think Larry was a large, way to the plus side figure for the Red Sox, but I also suspect that he might have not handled the John Lester thing well. But we'll
I think the Valentine thing was worse.
Well, the
or just as bad.
Yeah, but they won the next year. Listen, the guy won three World Series, completely made Fenway Park and a new Fenway a non-factor. It's been the greatest period in Red Sox history, including the first two decades. Larry was around back then. Larry Johnson, I wasn't, of the 20th century. For all his perceived faults from the fandom, you are right. The assets far outweigh the liabilities with Larry Lucchino.
I loved him.
He was the needed hard ass at times, let's face it.
Right.
He needed somebody like that at times in that back when.
I don't think it hurt the Red Sox so much as it obviously benefited his old nemesis, Theo, and the Cubs.
I'm sorry, say that again?
I don't think John Lester's leaving the Red Sox hurt the Red Sox so much as benefited, ironically, his old nemesis, Theo, and the Cubs.
I believe that led to us getting Price, but let's not go down that road.
Hey, David Price is pitching very well right now.
I don't like the guy personally. I hope he continues, and I hope he does it in the postseason. But like a lot of folks, I got to wait and see till the postseason.
John, you will be his biggest supporter if he turns in a great performance in the postseason. Everybody will turn. They were highly supportive in those two relief stints he had against the Astros in October of last year. People are salivating over the idea that David Price could redeem himself. We love redemption stories. John Lackey was flayed from pillar to post until he had a great postseason in 2013. You know how
it
works. I
will cheer him on because he's on my team. I still will not like the guy personally. But ownership. I'm surprised at you guys this morning. By the way, did I miss something? Did Larry and Mr. Skeffington still own, or did Mr. Skeffington pass away?
He actually died. Apparently, according to one of our listeners, he died while jogging. Heart attack while jogging.
Okay.
Okay.
So is Larry the only owner now?
I think it's an ownership group. Don't forget the Red Sox have a 10% stake in it as well.
Because I think that whatever the deal is with the Red Sox, they got plenty of money because they're part of under the Red Sox umbrella to some extent. And it isn't as bad an example of these pro teams trying to bring something out of local governments or state governments. The NFL is worse, obviously. Larry, you mentioned the Chargers.
Yes.
I think that's an abomination that they moved from San Diego.
John Hadel, Tobin Rowe.
Hey, Kraft almost did it. Kraft almost did that back in, right. You know, right before Brady came in 99, 2000. He almost went to Hartford, which is a similar move from San Diego to L.A.
Right. And even though he was good to us specifically, Craig, if you know what I mean, Mr. Finneran, I was not a big fan of, but he was kind of right. I mean, maybe shouldn't use the harsh rhetoric, but let these people in the NFL pay for their own damn stadium.
I did a 180 on that because I was desperate to keep the Patriots around, but Finneran was right. Kraft ponied up the money. The state provided some infrastructure.
Right, that's fine.
And you know what? Ownership should be putting up most of the capital. There's no reason why towns and state governments desperate to keep teams should spend money on stadiums. I mean, it's ridiculous.
They put them in bidding wars and everything.
Right.
It's not right, in my opinion.
All
even
right,
on
John.
The lower scale thing with the Paw Sox. I think,
unless the area really needs.
But they've proven, Larry, you know, and I didn't get into it with Lucchino.
You
I
don't
probably
think
should've.
Losing the Paw Sox will hurt that area economically?
I think that area is depressed as it is, and it wasn't a big winner anyway. And I wonder what kind of an economic boon it would have had if it stayed in Pawtucket or even went to Providence. Providence might have been able to turn a profit. I just don't know. Most of the studies have proven that ballparks or stadiums paid for by state or city taxes do not pay for themselves. Nope.
They don't get it back.
Nope. All right, John. Appreciate the call.
John, thanks.
All right, 617-779-7937. Mark in Rhode Island, you're next on Sports Radio WEEI.
Good morning, Mac.
Hey, how are you guys?
What's going on?
Not too much. So, you know, obviously being a native Rhode Islander, growing up in the state, spending a lot of time at the ball games. I mean, I have lots of, you know, very fond memories being a young kid, getting the day out of school to go to watch games because that was a big thing they did. And, you know, the last call has sort of summed up, like, my feeling in a lot of ways. I mean, these guys are coming in with millions and millions and millions of dollars in their pockets, and they're asking the state to fund 50% of a new stadium, including all of the interest and bonds and whatnot. And it just, to me, it kind of feels like this is an institution in the state. And if you really, truly cared about the institution, you would kind of reach into your pockets and you would, you know, take some responsibility for this. And the fact that we're in a situation where we just lost a huge piece of that city. I actually grew up in Pawtucket specifically. And that area, there's nothing in that area. The area needs development. The area was looking for development. And even the downtown Pawtucket site that they were talking about moving it to, yep, there's not much going on down there for a long time, you know. So, I mean, really, the state should be funding and putting up funds, you know, for the area surrounding the stadium. We could build up that downtown area of Pawtucket, and that would have been awesome and amazing. I think that really would have helped out. And the stadium would be built by the owners, and they would go ahead and they would start collecting their profits that way, and everyone kind of benefits.
And this is where I think it would have been fantastic if they had stayed, because we didn't talk about the numbers, but Larry and company were willing to pay for 50% of the new ballpark at the old Apex building on the Blackstone River. The ownership group is only putting up 36% to go to Worcester. So Worcester's shelling out a lot more money than Pawtucket would. It would have been a win-win. My problem is with Pawtucket, and I don't know it that well, but I certainly have been there several times. Is it possible to grow Pawtucket without the Paw Sox, or would that have to be part of the plan?
I just feel like that was part of Pawtucket. There's only a few things in Pawtucket, because Pawtucket was obviously, like Worcester, you know, an industrial city that kind of fell apart, you know, after the revolution and stuff. But we've, you know, we've got Hasbro, the Hasbro corporate office. Mm-hmm. There.
Aren't they also thinking about moving out?
They're also talking about moving out. And that area is just suffering, and it's kind of hemorrhaging and bleeding. And, you know, I don't want to jump too much into the politics and stuff, but, you know, our state is tied up to the point where we're losing business to Massachusetts left and right. Boston sucks the intellectual capital out of the state. You know, the state obviously has a lot more money than Rhode Island, so I'm pretty sure that there's going to be, you know, a good amount of money that's coming out of the, you know, out of Massachusetts to help fund this as well. So it's not just Worcester. There's just a lot. They have a lot more financial clout. And at some point, it's you know, is this a profit thing, or is this you truly care about the communities that you are a part of? You know,
right?
It's just kind of sad to see these teams.
Well, that's the ultimate question. Mark, that is that's the philosophical question. Is a team part of the community, or is it simply just a business entity? And, you know, obviously from Larry's perspective, the state had a chance to keep it, and they dropped the ball.
Yeah.
Too much infighting.
Yeah. Right. All right, Mark.
Too much. Thank you very much.
Yeah, appreciate the call. 617-779-7937. He's not worried at all about the Paw Sox leaving Pawtucket, but he is concerned about that team down on down on River Street in the Bronx. It's John and Malden. John, I haven't heard from you for months now. What's happened?
Oh, it hasn't been months.
Right after you predicted, right after the Red Sox lost 2 out of 3 to the Yankees at the stadium back at the end of June, early July, and you proclaimed the Yankees as runaway winners in the AL East. We haven't heard from you since.
John, what's happening? The only way this team can win a game is in 7 innings, and they have a rain delay.
Well, if that's what it takes, Larry, I'll take it these days.
Here come the Oakland A's. Here come Seattle Mariners. Watch out. Wild card now in jeopardy.
It is a little bit. And if you look at the Yankees' schedule in September, it's murder. They're going to play Oakland, Seattle. They're going to play Baltimore and Tampa Bay and the Red Sox a couple times. I mean, this is when they need Joe Girardi to get in.
Yeah, see,
what's the matter with Judge?
He's got a bad right wrist.
I told you when they hired him, Larry. He's got too soft of a disposition. And you told me, oh, that's what they want, Joe.
Well, that's what they want. He wasn't agreeing. Hey, listen, every Yankee fan, be it the most irrational, and we've certainly spoken to many over the years, or some very bright ones, all thought that was a bad move. Everybody recognized Joe Girardi and his importance to that team, except for one guy, Brian Cashman.
Yeah,
Brian Cashman felt that he was too intense, too much of a grinder, too much every game was the apocalypse.
I don't like your manager. Yeah.
Right.
Well, I mean, if you're gonna fight tooth and nail with the Red Sox every year, who, I mean, let's face it, these two teams are the big money spenders in the league, along with a couple of others. But you know, both teams are going to spend money and fight to win this division. You need a guy that's going to grind, because every game is important. And you know that series again at Fenway where they got
John. That was the worst. Straight. John, you have to admit that. Probably, and there were some embarrassing games in 2003 and 2004 in the regular season. And we know what happened in the postseason, but that was the worst regular season performance against the Red Sox the Yankees have turned in years.
No. A couple of years ago, Craig, you remember when the Yankees came in September, and I was saying, you know, we got a shot at the division, and we played, I believe, four games at Fenway. We had a three-run lead in every game. And lost all four. That was way worse.
That may be true, but coming in, they had a shot at least at closing the gap and widening the gap in the wild card, and neither happened, and they haven't recovered since.
Wow, they've been flat since the All-Star break. But it's bad and good that they have a tough schedule next month, okay? It's bad because the wild card's getting a little tighter, but it's good because they're going to have to grind to keep playing hard. Which the Red Sox don't have to. They can sit everybody right down. I don't even know why they're pitching Chris Sale anymore. Let the guy rest.
Yeah, they were smart to put him on the DL. And from your perspective,
I know. Leave
him. Hey, there are a lot of people, in spite of the Red Sox dominance, really since the beginning of July, a lot of people still have questions come October. And, you know, maybe you can get CC out there in game number two, and CC can do his thing against the Red Sox, but if the Yankees do survive that wild card play-in game, they're playing the Red Sox in that first 3 out of 5 round.
Well, you know what, Craig? The only edge, believe it or not, I'll give the Red Sox is they're going to have the home field, because I believe the Yankees have the pitching to go against the Red Sox. I do. They got to get it turned around. They got to get Severino back on track. He's going today. He's had six starts in a row where he hasn't pitched well.
You trust CC right now?
Yeah.
Against the Red Sox in the postseason? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I'll tell you something else. Jay Happ has good numbers against the Red Sox.
Yes, he has.
And he's pitched pretty well. And you know,
How's your boy Gray doing?
They're putting him in the bullpen. He's kind of been up and down. You know, they got to find something for him to do. But
clean up out there.
But I'll tell you what, John, I never would have imagined a month ago that we'd be saying those final three games at Fenway Park are absolutely and utterly meaningless, and they are. Hard to believe.
Hard to believe.
Yeah, and the Red Sox have been playing, you know, out of this world. Yankees have been flat, and there you go. Thanks for the call. 617-779-7937. Back to more of your Paw Sox calls as we make way for Dickerson and James coming up at high noon. Right here on Sports Radio WEEI.
Mustard and Johnson are rocking the Saturday Sports Talk on Sports Radio WEEI.
You're no good, heartbreaker. You're a liar and you're a cheat. And I don't know why.
It's Mustard and Johnson, Sports Radio WEEI.
My friends keep telling
Greg Dickerson in the house, Mark James. The new dynamic duo, TNT, is in the dustbin of history. We have DJ. DJ has replaced TNT. Dickerson and James coming your way right here at high noon. Some more of your calls until then at 617-779-7937. Let's check out Miles in Worcester. Miles, are you celebrating the big Paw Sox imminent move?
Yeah, I'm just, you know, ever since I've heard about them coming to Worcester, it's been on my mind, because I've been, you know, I've seen a lot of things come and go in Worcester, and you guys know, you know, if you know anything about Worcester, especially the sports team. So my question is, do you actually think that the Paw Sox are really going to be that successful by coming to Worcester, or do you think that it's going to be another flop as usual?
Well, what do you mean by flop, and what do you mean by successful? Do you mean on the field, economically? How do you define success?
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. What do you have going for you? Are the Ice Cats still out there?
Nope.
Okay.
Now, they're putting a lot of money into the stadium. They're putting a lot of money into the surrounding area. They're going to build up some development there. Infrastructure is going to be put into place. You would know better than I, but from my perspective, Miles, and the few times I've been to Worcester over the last several years, it's a totally different city from what I remember, say, 30, 40 years ago. It's really transformed.
Yep, that's true, you know. But my thing is that I've, like, even with the basketball teams, you know how many times, you know, they've had these pro teams come to Worcester and none of them actually stayed. Even with the hockey teams, they, you know, the Sharks were good for a little while and then boom, they were gone.
Well, I think baseball's a little bit different. Okay. I mean, you're playing more games, obviously, more consistent. They played in the old, I don't know what they call that, the Worcester Arena or whatever it is. That was not a great place to be, and they didn't develop around there. I think what they're going to be able to do, and Larry, you probably haven't been in Worcester in a long time. And what struck me when I've been there for the last several years I've been there semi-frequently, and I was shocked how much it's transformed. They've really done a nice job. That's going to continue to happen. Is it in Providence's league? No. They don't have the restaurant scene. They don't have – but the colleges are big there, Holy Cross, Clark, WPI, Worcester State. So it is a college town, which is always good. And now they're going to add on this commercial component to it with the Paw Sox coming in. It seems like a positive, but if you are on the other side of the ledger – in Pawtucket or Providence, you're looking at it from a totally different perspective. Let's stay out in Worcester. Rick, you're next on Sports Radio.
Hey, Rick.
So I got to be honest with you. I was at the press conference yesterday.
Mm.
Yeah. So
sounds like you're excited about the move, Rick.
Well, first of all, I wrote an editorial. I was part of a columnist team out here for the Worcester Telegram for a couple of years. And one of the questions when this first started a couple of years ago was, you know, should we pursue this? And, you know, the one of the biggest things was, you know, some of the old Worcester mentality, which, you know, I call it the 1980s mentality, which is, you know, nothing's ever going to work out here in Worcester. It just, you know, when Mike Bradley got drafted 17th in lottery pick, why didn't he get drafted 8th? You know, Richie Gammon, oh, he was an all-star, but, you know, he didn't hit well at the end of his career. It was just, you know, this kind of, instead of looking at a, you know, like Rich Gammon, great career, Mike Bradley, you know, played for a national title with Kentucky, you know, drafted, played a number of years in the NBA. Everybody looked at the faults. But that really transformed, really starting in you know, the late 1990s and beginning through all the way through the 2000s, where people got together and made a decision that, if we work together, good things are going to happen. We have great bones in this city economically. We, you know, when other cities during the recession were going really downhill, we always have the backbone of educational institutions. We have 10 colleges. We have UMass Medical Center, one of the, you know, leading research hospitals in the country. I mean, we have a Nobel Prize-winning researcher, Dr. Mello. And, you know, our biotech industry is really expanded. And now the light manufacturing is starting to build.
Can you make money? Can Worcester make money off this?
So everybody calls it a stadium deal. It's not a stadium deal. Larry Locchino doesn't do stadium deals. He does land deals. I mean, you look at Petco Park. You know what? Just go get pictures before that area of San Diego and look at it after. From the financing point, the reality is this. In the last three or four, you know, major projects, City Square, where we took and blew the hole right through the Galleria downtown, that was paved through what's called district financing, district improvement financing. So any increased revenues created by the increase in property values goes to pay the loans off. So if you ask a person, you know, can they, no naysayer in Worcester, if they're asked this direct question, are services suffering in the city of Worcester because we did City Square? The answer is no, because it hasn't sucked anything off the existing tax base. And that's what's going to happen here. You're taking vacant brownfields that haven't been used. Tumbleweeds have been rolling in for 20 years. And you're going to increase the property values dramatically. You're going to bring jobs. You're going to bring vitality. And, you know, right off the highway of Worcester, instead of seeing brownfields from the old Wyman Gordon site, you're going to see a ballpark, two hotels, including a boutique hotel, 250 market rate housing. You're going to see retail. And what's it going to cost you? It's going to the increased revenues to pay off the loans will pay it off, not, you know, attack your existing tax base. And then when you're said and done, you don't have vacant land. You don't have tumbleweeds rolling in. More importantly, if you think about it, the front page of the Boston Herald today said Woo Sox. The front page above the fold, Boston Globe, huge story.
Yep.
So any developer that's going to pick up the paper and see Larry Lucchino saying, you know what, these people were awesome to deal with. They got this, you know, their blank stuff together. And, you know, if you're a developer, what do you say? Geez, maybe I should go check it out. Maybe I'm a little late to the party because the developers that got in on the ground floor of 15, 17 years ago really have helped transform that place. But this, I got to go out there. What's going on?
Yeah, it should be great. Should be great. Listen, Rick, I only got a couple minutes. I want to get Dan in.
Rick, give us a call from time to time. Let us know what's going on.
What is the old saying? One man's ambrosia is another one's poison. Dan in Cranston has a little different perspective on that. Dan?
I may be the only guy who says it the way it should be, but, you know, doesn't have money. And they should be throwing around nickels like the manhole covers. And I think that basically, you know, they did. It doesn't make economic sense to keep them here. They don't have the money to do it. And bluntly, I mean, Pawtucket is a pig. It's putting lipstick on a pig, period.
Well, I would So
how can the pig make a comeback?
Go to New Bedford or some of these Fall River or some of these other towns. I mean, it's just the area used to be a swamp. It's probably going to go back to being a swamp. They may bring another. There's talk of bringing like a lower level team here eventually. But that won't be affiliated with the Red Sox, and I think there's a possibility of doing that. But it's not going to have the economic impact that they have, you know. And the state had enough time to try to figure it out. They couldn't do it. And I applaud them because they're saying after 38 suitors, we can't do something that's going to be bad.
And all right, Dan.
Well, we're
going to
keep
call.
Track of it, Dan, and we'll see how much of a profit you are.
Dickerson and James are next. DJ, that's the new sensation here on the weekends. We will leave you some Aretha, Carol King song, maybe her greatest. Thanks to Matt on the other side of the glass, along with producer in training, Bridget. Larry's going to hang around and salivate for the next half hour or so.
Over Matt?
Because Greg Dickerson's here.
Yeah. Hunky now, Craig? Yeah. Is that why?
You're the
Over
new tranny.
I didn't know you were into me like that, Larry.
You know what, the only thing I'm sorry about is I hadn't seen you since you were fat.
You saw me when I was fat.
No, I really didn't.
Yeah, I got fat about five years ago.
That's right. Abby stole your job.
Dickerson.
You're right. I can't. Dickerson. I don't have a comeback. You're right.
Dickerson will do his diet infomercial on the plane. Bye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.